WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass speaking out against the ICE arrests that have been taking place in her city. She tells ABC's Martha Raddatz on This Week, it's been chaotic.
The masked men in unmarked cars, no license plate, no real uniforms, jumping out of cars with rifles and snatching people off the street, leading a lot of people to think maybe kidnappings were taking place.
There were protests in California's Bay Area this weekend when people found out an old prison was possibly going to be used as an ICE detention center. President Trump filing a $10 billion defamation suit against the Wall Street Journal and its owner, News Corp, following a reporting by the Journal about a letter that Trump allegedly sent Jeffrey Epstein on Epstein's birthday in 2003. The Journal says it stands behind its reporting. 30 people taken to hospitals early Saturday after police say a man who'd been kicked out of a nightclub in Los Angeles got in his car and drove into a crowd. This is ABC News. There's been a concerning rise in the number of people under the age of 50 who have been diagnosed with colorectal or pancreatic cancer. Some blame obesity, smoking, drinking, and eating unhealthy foods. It can also, however, be a genetic condition. Regardless, says ABC News medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton, you need to get screened.
If you have chronic abdominal pain, changes in your bowel movements, or you're feeling chronic discomfort in any way, shape, or form, you want to make sure to get that evaluated. And then at the age of 40, everyone should start having conversations about screenings. Less than 65% of adults go to their annual routine visits. That's how many of these cases are found, not just about colonoscopies, but mammograms, prostate screenings, all of the above, making sure that you're having these conversations early and being proactive.
Another thing that could help avoiding red meats and processed foods in your diet. Scottie Scheffler delivering another dominant performance at the British Open this afternoon to win his second major this year and grab the third leg of the career Grand Slam. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheepshead for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is. And is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. An effort to restore northern pike habitat in Green Bay is also benefiting other wildlife species and raising local awareness about the effects of climate change. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The primary goal of the multi-county collaboration was to create fish passage openings by building culverts and restoring wetlands to improve spawning habitat for the northern pike. Ken Delata with Oconto County says the project has since expanded to benefit a wider range of species. Delata says most types of Wisconsin wildlife depend on wetlands at some point in their lives, including northern pike.
They're very important for controlling bait fish population out there. It is a very sought-after fish, especially in the wintertime. Recreational-wise, it's a huge draw.
Delata says restoring these areas has given the researchers a unique opportunity to study the travel and reproductive patterns of northern pike. Their grant funding ends in 2027, but he says they hope to continue with these projects. Chuck Druckery with Marionette County says half of the remaining wetlands on Lake Michigan are on the west shore of Green Bay. So far, 82 projects have been completed there, opening up 200 stream miles and restoring nearly 20 acres of wetlands. Druckery says agriculture has replaced many wetlands with ditches that have become problems for pike and other species.
Because the ditches, they are deeper than the original streams were, so that even if the fish can swim up the ditch, sometimes they can't get out of the ditch.
He thinks their progress could become more challenging challenging given the threat of climate change and heavier rainfall, but the projects have also provided opportunities to raise awareness of these issues. They've made 2 acres of land into an outdoor classroom for hands-on teaching to students about the importance of wetlands and wildlife habitat. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine 79 on your Monday. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Turning warmer on Wednesday, a chance of thunderstorms. We'll see highs in the low 90s. Chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday. Currently 78 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
On Monday, I'll still be camping in the Northwoods, so Matt Rothschild is in the guest host chair. He'll be bringing you his thoughts about Wisconsin progressivism and, of course, some slamming poetry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and today we're talking about wellness. It's such a big thing. Like, everybody's talking about wellness.
You say with a question mark, wellness? Is that
we are talking about wellness. But, you know, when I think about wellness, I think about, like, all the things that we do as a doctor in our professional organizations to make ourselves healthy. And then we hear about wellness, like, in the schools and wellness for our kids and wellness. It's a huge topic.
It is. It stretches, like, more than just, like, what you eat or how you exercise. It's your brain. It's dealing with stress. It's, can you relax? Are you getting enough sleep? And then they keep changing the rules on you.
They keep changing the rules. And it also gets kind of watered down, because what does it mean to you and what does it mean to a community? And how do you define it personally, and how do you define it for, like, large groups of people, large communities? And how do you measure it? How do you know if you're well or not?
Exactly. And then you got to somehow make time for it magically.
Right. Yeah. Fit that into your life.
Yeah.
Well, wellness is what Wello is all about, and that's what we're talking about today and who we're talking with today. And for full disclosure, I serve on the board for Wello, and I do it because when I moved to Green Bay, when I moved back to the area, I met this incredible woman, Natalie Bomstead, who is the executive director of Wello, and she happens to be sitting right next to me. Natalie, welcome.
Hello, everyone.
I'm so excited about the work that you are spearheading, the work that we are all doing as a community. Why don't we just start talking about Wello and what we're doing and what Wello is? I love the tagline, all people thriving, no exceptions.
No exceptions.
Yeah. So what is Wello?
Yeah. So Wello is a nonprofit really grounded in Green Bay, Wisconsin, but really serving Brown County and Northeast Wisconsin. Our mission is really around co-creating community conditions that are fair and just to drive high levels of health and well-being for all. So if Wello does our work well, it's not something you have to necessarily add into your day. It's something that we're all experiencing and we're all a part of. All of us can do a little bit to ensure that our education system, our healthcare systems, our communities, our neighborhoods are all well and are built for people, right? And so our organization was founded in 2010 with really this vision of a thriving community, a community where anyone can come and can bring their unique self and their unique strengths. And together, we can create a community that is really strong, resilient, and has really high levels of well-being.
This is a lot, and it's really big. Wellness in general wasn't the origin story of Wello, though, was it?
Well, the origin story of Wello is really unique. Our local newspaper, the Green Bay Press Gazette, actually released an editorial, and it asked people to think boldly about the ways in which we could improve the community. And they received a whole bunch of different suggestions. You know, better veteran care. We needed computers for every child in the digital age. But the number one reader submitted issue was, how are we building a community that can really be healthy and well now and into the future?
Mm-hmm.
And really so much so that the Press Gazette, to their credit, was saying, oh my goodness, this is actually a really great source of community readiness.
Mm-hmm. Where it started.
And how do we build on that? And so it was brought to the Greater Green Bay Chamber. We had a number of different key stakeholders come together, from healthcare to education, nonprofits, the business community, really to dig in. And the result of those conversations was, we need an organization. We need an organization that is focused on building well-being now and into the future. And so those ideas around thinking boldly and really being community-rooted and community-centered continue to really drive our work each and every day.
So this all came from an article in the newspaper where people responded and the community came together and said, we've got to do something here, and engaged all of these different partners. Mm-hmm. And one of these partners currently, Charmder.
Hello.
Sitting beside Natalie, Charm is the Vice President of Human Resources at Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin. You are a Wello partner.
I am, and I'm so happy to be in that role. Wello has, you know, given me an opportunity to be intentional about my impact in the community. And so when I think about, you know, organizations, how can we really talk about our workplace thriving if we don't know how people are experiencing the workplace, the community, right? All of those pieces connect.
Mm-hmm. So when did you get involved with Wello? Was it early on? Did you jump on as they continued to grow? Or how did this all come together for you?
Yeah, I relocated to Northeast Wisconsin in 2016. And I got involved with Wello a few years after that. And it was through a prior role where I was working on health equity work.
Mm-hmm. And Natalie, I have a hard time explaining Wello to people. And I know Wello, and I love Wello, and I know you. Well, actually, we're fellow Gophers.
We are.
We established that early.
Gophers. Sorry, Wisconsin. We love you, too.
We do. But Wello is confusing because it's not like a transactional relationship with wellness. You know, like Amanda was saying earlier, you have to get your exercise. You have to eat well. You have to hydrate. You have to take care of your mental health. Wello isn't transactional like that, are you?
That's correct. That's mm-hmm. correct. And I think one of the things that we like to say at Wello, so our icon is kind of two overlapping kind of half circles. And that's really intentional. One of those, the largest of those, is really community. So really being rooted in, what is the community experiencing? How do we honor what they're saying as challenges or some barriers? Also, what are the beautiful assets that community is lifting up? And then we're all a part of systems, right? Whether that be systems of care in a clinical setting, whether that be the systems that surround us in our neighborhood, in our education system. And oftentimes at Wello, we're looking at how do systems and community come together? And there's often what we call kind of like that messy middle area, that overlap, where systems that are meant to serve the people may not always be serving them in the way in which the folks are really needing to be served, mm-hmm. right?
We see this in medicine all the time.
All the time.
Yeah,
there's so many examples.
I think you need this, but in reality, populations of different people need different things.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't come from the population, you don't know that you're actually addressing the problems.
Exactly. And sometimes the solutions aren't obvious, right? So at Wello, we really work to bring the systems and the community together in ways that identify win-wins, in ways that bring multi-sectors together. So we might be thinking about food or nutrition insecurity in a community, right? But that includes our agricultural economy, right? That includes farmers. Where is the food being grown?
Mm-hmm.
That includes the supply chain. How does the food get to people? It includes where the food would be served, whether that be, say, in a school lunchroom. Say it might be in a restaurant or in a grocery store. How do people get the food? What's the knowledge and beliefs and the culture around preparing that food, right? Do people have enough money to get the food that they need, right? So there's all of these different pieces. And instead of saying, wow, that's really complicated, at Wello, we say, that's a really complex issue.
Oh, I recognize that. Yeah, I recognize that framing. Yeah.
Let's dig into that together. And really, at Wello, we say, you know, people support what they co-create. And mm-hmm. so it's really about being intentional at each step mm-hmm. to think about how are we honoring culture? How are we honoring tradition? And also kind of pushing the envelope a little bit to think a little bit differently, right? A lot of the health and well-being issues that we see currently are pretty deep-seated. They might be things that have been around for a long time. And so oftentimes we get the question, well, why is this different? Or what are we going to do different? Or it just seems too big.
Right? It's overwhelming.
Right? It's overwhelming. And at Wello, we say, well, let's break it down into its incremental parts. And let's start small. Let's build that relationship and that trust that's needed to go to the bigger things. Mm-hmm. And whenever you're working with Wello, we're really about working kind of across the different dimensions of well-being. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about food insecurity, we're also talking about social connection. We're talking about mental health. We're talking about, do you have a place, a safe place to sleep at night? Mm-hmm. Right? So it's really taking this multi-solving approach that doesn't necessarily look at one thing at one point in time, but really allows us to take kind of that full holistic view of things.
Yes. We don't exist in a vacuum.
And I think that's been why we've been successful, right? Yeah. Is because we were able to bring in all of those different viewpoints and take that more holistic approach.
That is the voice of Natalie Baumstead. She is the executive director with Wello. Charm, I'm going to go to you next. Charm is the vice president of human resources at Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin. Natalie talked a lot about food, and I'm getting a little hungry, not going to lie. And I do want to talk more about the food work that Wello does, because there's so much brilliant work around food. It's so much more than just what you put in your mouth. I mean, it is really the basis of building community. Where do you engage with Wello? Who are the people who you serve, and what are the things that you bring to the table as a member, as a community member with Wello?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question. You know, at Family Services, we have 20 programs across a continuum of care. So we center on crisis and counseling services, youth and family. And so in a community partnership role, I have the opportunity to refer our clients and encourage my team to refer clients to Wello. And as a member on the measurement team, I have an opportunity to be a part of collecting very important community data and using that data to tell a story of impact for my workforce.
I'm glad you mentioned the measurement team, because we are definitely going to talk about the survey later on in the program.
Yeah.
So we live in a diverse community, and different people have different needs. Mm-hmm. How does Wello bring those voices to the forefront? Because often these are underrepresented voices mm-hmm. that are not heard. And I'll share a personal story of growing up in Kaukauna, where we had a lot of refugees, Hmong refugees. And I even went to school with a couple kids who were in my graduating class, but we rarely saw them in the community. Mm-hmm. But we knew that they were all there. How do you find those voices and give them a voice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at Wello, it really all starts with relationships. Mm-hmm. And it starts with building trust. And I think for us, that's not something that happens overnight.
Right.
Right. But for it to happen deeply and authentically, it takes time, and it takes really reaching out multiple times in many different ways. I think in our community in particular, we have such a beautiful array of different families and backgrounds and cultures. And I think it's really important to us. Our mission statement is for all.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
So if you find yourself here for generations, or if you find yourself here for the first time, we want Green Bay, we want Northeast Wisconsin to be a place that is a really beautiful, powerful part of your journey and of your story. And so it's really important for us that we are really connecting with folks. And oftentimes it's connecting like folks and partners like Charm and others to really start to build that network and to build that community. It really is about building a community of belonging.
It is. It's all people thriving. No exceptions. That's right. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, my music pick for the week, and this one's kind of personal for me. And later on the show, we're going to talk about measuring community wellness. So this is the Dr. Kristen Lyrell Show on WGBW in Green Bay, WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a highly critical report of the City of Madison's former clerk after investigating how 193 mail-in ballots were left uncounted after the 2024 general election. The clerk was suspended by the city, then subsequently resigned. November 12th, a staff member alerted City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell that a sealed ballot courier bag had been found, but Witzel Bell allegedly gave the staff no instructions to open or otherwise investigate, did not alert state or county officials, and went on vacation the next day. Just before Thanksgiving, unaware that an unopened bag had been found, an elections inspector reported a discrepancy in wards 56 and 65. December 2nd, inspectors found another unopened courier bag containing 125 uncounted ballots. The 400-page report found several leadership and procedural failures. It concluded, quote, rather than acknowledge these significant errors, the city clerk and her staff either ignored the issue or willfully refused to inform the necessary parties and seek assistance. These actions resulted in nearly 200 lawful voters' votes going uncounted, an unconscionable result, unquote. The report orders the City of Madison to complete several procedural reforms before the next statewide election in February 2026. We've linked to the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free confidential support 24/7. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211, or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyrell Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lyrell, and we are talking about community wellness with Natalie Bonstead of Wello and Charm Durr, the Vice President of Human Resources at Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin. And before we get back to that conversation, I have to say, like, personally, music is a huge component of my personal wellness, and I love summer and music. You know, when you're outside and you just hear it in people's yards and all the summer music festivals like Mile of Music and Summerfest. Yes. So we are listening right now to Aram Ray. Aram is not from the area, but she did have a little brief stint here living in Green Bay. She has had her music on TV, ads, radio. She's got a new album out called Nashville, which is where she's actually living right now. And I really encourage y'all to just take a listen. Aram Ray, ARUMRAE.com. You can also stream her on all of the streaming channels. And we're going to make sure that info's in the show notes. So that's the music. Music makes me happy. Charm, you're kind of a happiness expert. You've written a book about happiness.
Yes. Yeah. My happiness counts. Yeah. So I want you all to remember that your happiness counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What makes us happy?
Well, you know, I wrote the book because I wanted to have an intentional conversation with my children about happiness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a difficult topic.
Right? It is.
It's a difficult concept to narrow down for children. And I really landed on trying to help them see that happiness is more than just a fleeting moment, that it can be cultivated through kindness, through purpose, and most importantly, through community and well-being. And so I think that all of those things are things that make us happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Little fun fact, we are all boy moms. Some of us more than others, though.
I have a challenging 3-year-old boy at the moment.
Just wait till they turn 6, because it's, oh my God, the way he's talking back, I'm like, what age do you think you are?
Yes, we're really testing boundaries and mom's patience. Yes.
So I have a 5 and a 7 year old, and yes, the conversations that we have are just so amusing. This morning, you know, my oldest was staring out the window, and, you know, on our drive into Green Bay, and I was like, you know, what are you thinking about? And he said, an endless resource pack.
He's 7?
And I was like, I'm sorry,
what? Oh, for a video game. Tell me.
It
was
well, that's what I thought. I said, is this for a video game? He said, no, for life.
Oh.
So that people can constantly have the food that they need and the clothes that they need and the energy that they need. And I was like, well, is this because I was scrambling this morning?
And I'm going to start with you.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Beautiful. But, you know, I think little ones, they're listening. Uh-huh. They're listening to everything we're saying. And they're looking at the world around them, and they're forming ideas. And mm-hmm. so one of my greatest honors is to be able to feel that and then write it down.
And then write it down.
Right. And bring it back to work and help some of those good ideas materialize.
This morning, my son said, he came down the stairs and he said, hello, my beautiful girl.
Oh.
I said to my husband, I said, you have some work to do. But in reality, right, I resonate with what you're saying, Charm. Like, they're picking up on how you're talking to one another.
Exactly.
Right? And talking with love and kindness,
mm-hmm.
Which all contributes to our well-being.
It does. Happiness.
To our happiness.
Absolutely.
So those are very real things.
Very. As long as we're sharing mom stories, my oldest is now 26, and he lives in Milwaukee. He's a teacher. He's a music teacher. And he's home, so he was home last night, and he kept me up until 1 o'clock in the morning telling stories about how he talks to his kids about Beethoven. Mm. And he's explaining to me, like, the historical context and Beethoven and his relationship with Napoleon, like, things I don't know.
Yeah.
And he's got this middle school class of kids who didn't choose to do orchestra or band or voice, but they still have to do music. So they're kind of like the left behinds who may not even be interested in music. And he finds a way to make it relevant. And as he was talking to me, he was so excited and so animated. And I was learning from him. And I thought, is this because of the Mozart effect when I made him listen to Mozart when he was like in utero? That was a thing back in the day.
Yes.
So I don't know.
We're going to say yes to
that. You did something right, Mom.
Yes.
It's nice though to see it on the other end. And I said to him, like, oh, this, my investment is paying off now.
Yes.
And I'm sure the energy that he puts into his storytelling, like, energizes the little ones that he's teaching.
Well, and these are like 6th and 7th grade boys and girls who are going through all these weird, awkward changes, you know, and like wellness and happiness is entirely different for them than it is for us. Okay, before we run out of time in this segment, because we only have a couple minutes left, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation gave Wello a giant prize. They didn't give it. They awarded it for hard work. Natalie, tell us.
Thank you. I am so, so happy to share with our audience. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is our nation's largest philanthropy, solely devoted to health. Their largest community-based prize is called the Culture of Health Prize.
Mm-hmm.
And Green Bay, Wisconsin was named a 2024 Culture of Health Prize community, one of 9 across the nation. And it really honors the collective work of government, nonprofits, healthcare, public health, education, all of these partners coming together and saying, we are invested. We are invested in a thriving community, and we are taking very actionable steps to make that happen. And so this award is recognition of really a decade of work of many folks. And we are just so, so overjoyed to share this with the community and what it means.
So wellness doesn't just happen. You have to work for it, and you have to work together with your partners to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you were on the cusp. Wello was on the cusp in the last cycle. And this cycle, we worked even harder to get there.
Yes. In 2020, we were a finalist, and they said, hey, bring that application back. We want to see what you do with the next few years. And we're winners.
And we're winners.
Persistence pays off.
Oh, yeah. And here's how we're going to prove that we're winners. We measure it. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on WISS and WGBW.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass speaking out against the ICE arrests that have been taking place in her city. She tells ABC's Martha Raddatz on This Week, it's been chaotic.
The masked men in unmarked cars, no license plate, no real uniforms, jumping out of cars with rifles and snatching people off the street, leading a lot of people to think maybe kidnappings were taking place.
There were protests in California's Bay Area this weekend when people found out an old prison was possibly going to be used as an ICE detention center. President Trump filing a $10 billion defamation suit against the Wall Street Journal and its owner, News Corp, following a reporting by the Journal about a letter that Trump allegedly sent Jeffrey Epstein on Epstein's birthday in 2003. The Journal says it stands behind its reporting. 30 people taken to hospitals early Saturday after police say a man who'd been kicked out of a nightclub in Los Angeles got in his car and drove into a crowd. This is ABC News.
Another win for the Brewers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beating the Dodgers again. 8-7 last night in Los Angeles. Milwaukee now with a 9-game winning streak. Now, the Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani hit his 33rd homer of the year. He leads the National League, but the Brewers kept coming back. They're now 5-0 against the defending World Series champions after that 3-game sweep in Milwaukee before the All-Star break. Although Freddie Peralta won his 7th straight start, he wasn't particularly sharp, giving up 4 runs and 5 hits in 5 innings pitched. But the Brewers tacked on some insurance runs to maintain the lead. Right fielder Isaac Collins with a 363-foot homer over the short right field wall in the 4th inning. Caleb Durbin with an RBI double in the 6th. Then Joey Ortiz with a home run to round things out. So again, the final, the Brewers 8-7 over the Dodgers last night. Game 3 of the series wrapping up this afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, the Kiss Cam couple is still reeling from the traumatic outing at a Coldplay concert last week. According to TMZ, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin is mortified that the couple were exposed thanks to him. Astronomer CEO Andy Byron was seen canoodling with the head of his HR department, Kristen Cabot. They probably figured it was safe going into a crowd of 65,000 people to check out Coldplay. They probably figured it was safe to go into a crowd of 65,000 people to check out Coldplay's record-breaking Music of the Spheres tour that actually started back in 2022, when Byron and Cabot were probably still just flirting. Many think Byron will resign or be forced out of his position, and as for Cabot, if she remains in HR, she'll have to get used to people laughing when they're called into her office to be scolded. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Sunshine 79 on your Monday. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Turning warmer on Wednesday, a chance of thunderstorms. We'll see highs in the low 90s. Chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday.
Currently 78 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are back from our road trip across Wisconsin, back to recap all of the weekend news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What happiness is when I'm lying.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we're talking about happiness and community wellness with Natalie Baumstead, the Executive Director of Wello, and Charmder, the Vice President of Human Resources with Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin. And hey, if you missed the beginning of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always find me right here on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 p.m. on WGBW 97.9 FM in Green Bay and WISS 96.5 in Appleton at 98.3 in Oshkosh. And of course, streaming live on the Civic Media app. So, back to business, ladies. Wellness is broad and vague and variable, and community wellness takes it to a whole other level. Mm-hmm. How do you measure something so big with all these different tendrils? And it's hard. How do you do it?
It's just my type of problem.
It is too.
So back in 2018, Wello really made a commitment around collective community well-being. And we had this question. How do you measure it? How do you know how we're doing? And we really took a pretty broad and deep look across not only the nation, but around the world to see how different communities were doing that. At that time, there were a couple happiness indexes from our friends in Australia. There were some models over in Europe. There was the Santa Monica Wellbeing Index out in California. But as we did our scan, we noticed that there wasn't necessarily a standard, you know, for example, something that you could just kind of plug and play. Mm-hmm. And so we made the decision to say, how do we tell our local story and tell it in a way that is really reflective of the people who live here?
How do we tell our local story that reflects the people of Northeast Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to also broaden that definition of health, of well-being, like we've been talking about. We didn't want to just talk about physical well-being. And what we saw was that we have a lot of quantitative data. So those number data that oftentimes is really generated from a clinical setting, mm-hmm. which is important, but doesn't necessarily tell the why behind a lot of those numbers. Mm-hmm. And so we built our community health and well-being survey to be really reflective of physical health, of mental health, the social connections that we have with one another, and then what we call kind of that environmental well-being. So things like income and education and safety in neighborhoods, belonging and inclusion. And we set forth basically to say, instead of waiting for something to be perfect, we're going to start. And we're going to think about this as an iterative, dynamic process. And we're going to do it with community, because that's what how Wello works.
Mm-hmm. Community, it's all based in community.
It's all based on community. And so in 2019, our first survey was launched. And I'm happy to say today, when we're recording, July 15th, 2025, this is the launch of our fourth survey iteration.
The survey is live now.
It is live. You can go on wello.org and take the survey.
Wello.org.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take?
It should take you just a few minutes to take. It's not overly extensive. And it's really important because one of the things that we added from an analysis perspective is on the survey, you're able to kind of drop a pin of where in the general vicinity you live. And what that allows us to do is to really take that summary data.
Mm-hmm.
So it's non-identifiable. And we're able to say in this census tract, in this neighborhood, these are the things that are going really well. And here are some of the opportunities that we see. And what we have found is this level of community-driven data has allowed other organizations to really think about how they're prioritizing resources, maybe where we want to really amplify and highlight things that are going well. And when we are in an area of scarce resources, where do we invest more? Where can we have a really big impact? And CHARM and those on the measurement team have been really instrumental in ensuring that those survey questions are reflective of the community. Because every time we go and do the survey, we have that period in between where we get back together and we say what worked, what didn't work.
And let's
update it.
I love that. And, you know, like with survey, you always want to have a marker where you can look back at the year prior. But I love how agile we are with the questions, to your point, Natalie, to say, you know, we collected these demographics last year. Have things changed? Do we need to collect data differently?
And that, I think, is a big hallmark of the way in which we approach this work. Oftentimes in research, we ask the same question the same exact way, because we want to see, you know, this year over year over year, and there's a hesitancy to change that. And, you know, we've gotten the opportunity to really talk about our approach to many different partners across the nation. And I think one of the things I always share is, are you collecting the information to publish a paper? Or are you collecting the information to create community impact?
Right. It's not as easy as just asking a question and getting a answer. The way that the question is phrased, the people who you're asking, the setting in which you're asking, all of that is relevant, because you might get different answers depending on all of those little nuanced things. CHARM.
Yeah, absolutely. And I even think about, you know, when I'm looking at the data results, a very real way for my organization is, you know, if 75% are saying that they're doing really great, you know, what are the other, you know, 25% experiencing, right? And that's where we come in when we talk about crisis work and counseling work. How can we truly be there for the community?
And when we do that analysis, we have a great team at Wello. We're able to look at different groups within the community, right? And see who might be driving a number. So, you know, you can look at big community data and we can say 75% are doing well based on this and 25% maybe not so well. But what's driving that 25%? And also, who's in the 75%? And so we've been working with community partners. I think of the Aging and Disability Resource Center, where we were able to take all of the data and look at those folks who were 65 and older. What are they saying about their well-being? We were able to look at those who identified as male or female. What are the similarities or differences there? And they tell a deeper, richer story. And so we want to both tell a collective story, as well as thinking about, if we're creating impact and really working together, where do we need to work together, right? And so those that ability to kind of look deeper into those stories is also very important.
Right. That is the voice of Natalie Baumstead, the executive director of Wello. Also joining me is CHARM Durr, the vice president of human resources at Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin. What are you measuring? How do you measure wellness? What are the markers?
Do you want to start? Do you want me to, CHARM?
Well, I mean, to give a general overview, you know, we're looking at, you know, physical well-being, we're looking at psychological, we're looking at resources. So really, everything stratified across social drivers of health are intertwined in our survey.
And one of the things that starts the survey is something called the Cantrell Ladder, right? So I started by talking about how when we started this journey, there weren't a lot of national ways in which to measure well-being. One of those measures that has emerged is the Cantrell Ladder. And so basically it asks people to think of a ladder, zero being the bottom of that ladder and the worst possible life, and 10 being the top of that ladder and your best possible life. And it says, where do you feel yourself that you are today? And where do you think you're going to be in 5 years? And we're able to then collect that information. We're able to stratify that to see who's thriving, who's struggling, and who's suffering in our community. And then pair it with some of the other information that we're collecting to really understand, when we say suffering, what does that mean? Right? When we say struggling, what does that mean? And also,
are these actual words that are in the survey, struggling and suffering?
Uh-huh. Yep. And then I'm also always very interested on, but what's happening at the bubbles of those two, right? So depending what number you choose on that line, because that's also really important, I think, for us to think as a collective well-being. I might be doing okay today, but maybe I'm, you know, one step away from really struggling or really suffering. And so how are we, you know, really thinking about collective efforts to ensure families can continue along that journey of achieving thriving in their own lives?
What have the surveys shown over time? How are we doing?
Mm-hmm. I think in general, what's interesting is there's also a question that says, how are you doing? And people generally say, okay.
That's what we say.
That's the Midwest
here,
nice. Right?
Yeah. It's real Midwest nice. It's like, yeah, I'm doing all right. And then it's like, but how many days in the last 30 days has your mental health not been great?
Mm-hmm.
And then people start to say, oof, you know.
You have to ask specific questions.
Not very good.
Yes.
Right? And so we have seen an increase in mental health challenges.
Mm-hmm.
This survey, we actually have increased the number of questions surrounding mental health and substance abuse questions specifically for folks.
Mm-hmm.
Also around housing conditions. So I mentioned that the survey is really meant to be dynamic and it's really meant to respond to the needs of the community. And Charm and others on the measurement team have said, hey, we're seeing a housing crisis. And I know that you have talked to folks on the show about unhoused folks and different things in which we need to be thinking about as in our community. And so I think those are some of the pieces.
Yeah, I mean, and that's such a key piece. You know, when I think about, I mean, and you can attest to this too, you know, in some of our programs, over 50% of our clients are unhoused.
Really?
And yes.
50%?
Yes, in some of our programs. And so that impacts them, you know, coming for their counseling sessions, right? Or that even impacts how we go to their, you know, some of our programs are home visitation programs.
You know, where do you go? To their car?
Right?
Under the bridge?
Right.
I mean, yes.
You know, meeting them at their at the shelter, meeting them at their temporary housing. Because also being unhoused, it looks, you know, different ways for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's a conversation that we had on the measurement team as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other is really around food insecurity or nutrition insecurity, right? Mm-hmm. So I think often, and why I really like the term nutrition insecurity is I think even when foods are abundant, they may not be the nutrient dense things that support health.
That's a great point.
Yes.
And that can impact anyone,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think on this survey, we've seen, you know, the percentage of folks, and then again, being able to look at different populations and the impact of food and nutrition insecurity in those populations to really launch some really neat efforts around cultivating community, which mm-hmm. is really around supporting well-being through food in our community and in some other projects.
So much about food, about getting supporting local farmers, getting locally grown, fresh, healthy produce to populations of people who otherwise don't have access to that produce, can't afford it, can't get it. There's a truck involved.
We are mobile now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, briefly tell us about the truck because this is really exciting.
Yes. So cultivating community is a really big Wello project, and we wanted to get more into the community, and we needed a freezer and fridge space to do so. So Wello purchased with the partnership of several local organizations who really committed, the last being a Packers Impact Grant that helps support
the Packers,
helps support buying the farmer's truck, which we'll talk about a little bit more.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And then also tell people again how they can get involved. Wello.org, the survey is open right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about how we can all pitch in however it serves us. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show with me, Natalie Bomstead of Wello, and Charm Durr from Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin here on WGBW, WISS, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Looking for food, fun, and live music this summer? Head to Area 509 in Appleton with Caribbean Taste.
Every Friday, enjoy a food truck rally from 5 to 8 p.m. with live music from 5:30 to 7:30. Enjoy the Triple S Market, sip, shop, sing, every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. With local artisans, open mic, guest food trucks, a full menu of incredible Caribbean-taste food, charcuterie, mimosas, and more. It's all happening at 1025 North Badger Avenue. Come join the fun!
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Your next favorite read isn't that far away. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And Saturday, July 26th, from 10 until 3, it's the Art Garage's Summer Reads Book Fair, where you get to meet authors, explore regional publications, and celebrate a large amount of literary works and genres. The best part is this is free and completely open to the public. So if you're looking for more ways to be involved other than just attending, head to wgbw.fm and click events.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. An unwelcome surprise for Wisconsin farmers looking to apply for the Federal Rural Energy for America program, or REAP. The popular program helps rural small businesses and farmers invest in money-saving energy efficiency upgrades and clean energy. But the application window that was supposed to open July 1st was abruptly closed by the USDA. The agency says it's delaying the grant application window. The EPA is awarding a $700,000 grant to help Kenosha County pay for the final phase of restoration of the Pike River. Crews are restoring banks and habitat along the river and planting native pollinator-friendly plants. The project is aimed at improving the quality of water flowing into Lake Michigan. For a deep dive into environmental issues impacting Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we are talking about community wellness, specifically measuring community wellness, with Natalie Bomstead of Wello and Charm Durr from Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin. The Wello survey is out and available at wello.org, W-E-L-L-O.org. Go there, click on it.
Go there, click on it, and share your experiences and share your voice. It's really important at Wello that all of our work is really guided by the folks who live here and that we're localizing our action, our impact. And that really requires that community voice. And so we invite all folks to really share their voice through that survey.
I love that. Charm, if somebody wants to get involved, they're listening to this episode and they're thinking, oh, this is such great work. There's food. There's a truck. The Packers are involved. I want to be part of creating this community wellness because I know it matters right here in my neighborhood. How do they do it? What would you recommend?
Well, I would just say reach out. You know, we're here, as Natalie said, you know, we're centered on relationship building. And so we have an open door policy for community partners. So reach out. And if I could make a pitch, I would really encourage people across industries to reach out. You know, so currently, you know, I'm in the human services space, doing healthcare, you know, in the healthcare space. But where are the manufacturing companies? So if you're in manufacturing, if you're in higher education, I think it's so important because when we talk about well-being and we talk about people thriving in the communities that they work, live, and play, and everyone should be involved in those conversations.
It matters to all of us. It's holistic. It's not like you live in a bubble because you go to the grocery store, your kids are in school, you are looking towards the golden years of your life, and you want to live in a place where you feel healthy and supported, and you've got access to healthcare and all of those things. And in order to make that happen, it's not just healthcare. It's not just one thing, but it is everybody coming together.
Absolutely. Thriving doesn't happen in isolation.
Right.
It does not. And, you know, as we're recording this, I'm also just thinking about we are adjacent to a large employer in our area. And if I can name drop.
Definitely name drop.
Schreiber of Schreiber Foods.
Right across the street
right
from the studio.
Right across the food.
Right across the food.
Right across the food. Right across the studio. And I think they're another great example. So as Charm was saying, you know, there is opportunity to get connected into Wello. One of the things I want to highlight that Schreiber is, and we're really partnering on, they are actually sharing the survey with all of their partners.
Fantastic.
All of their employees, because it's really important that they also have an understanding of the well-being of the folks who work there, who live in this community. And they've invited us to their self-care day. And we're going to take the Wello truck to their self-care day and really stock the truck with local foods that their partners are going to be able to try, to taste, to smell, to see the difference that local food really has in all of those components. And also showcases what cultivating community really is and how we can invest in that more broadly through some of our philanthropic efforts. So anything that's not taken by one of the partners at Schreiber, we're actually then going to go and donate to one of our key resource center partners.
Tell us about some of those resource center partners. There are many.
There are many. Three key partners of Wello, specifically within cultivating community, and actually I'll name four. We All Rise African American Resource Center and All Seasons Transformation House, COMSA, Casa Alba Melanie, and also ISI, which is Innovative Services Inc., all serve specific populations. And through cultivating community, we've been able to actually pair that local food grown here by local farmers and get that to their agencies, in which then they can deliver those food products to the people who really need it. And they know their community best. And so Wello's Farmers Truck is also designed to really help connect those agency partners together. And there's actually even more. Last year, we were at 15 different sites and were able to serve 14,000 people. So we're talking anywhere.
14,000
people. 14,000 people. So any, you know, folks from NWTC and their, and UWGB and their campus cupboards, and all across the community. But cultivating community is really around getting that locally grown fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, sometimes eggs, sometimes some syrup.
You never know.
Sometimes syrup, right? I grew up in the Upper Peninsula. My dad tapped maple trees and
really?
Made our own syrup. So I am a syrup aficionado.
I love that.
Not officially.
That's awesome.
So that's another way also that you can get connected to Wello. So we will be launching what's called the Stock the Truck campaign. And so it allows for folks to maybe go in together with some friends and say, hey, we want to stock the truck and we want to get this fresh, locally grown food to folks in the community who really need it.
And when you stock the truck, you are also helping local farmers because they're growing this food. They're making this syrup.
All of the food is purchased from local farmers. So we have a group of over 50 farmers who have helped support and help really build cultivating community with us. So it's all those dollars are being reinvested right in our local farming economy to our local farmers. And it's getting into the homes of the families who really need it.
Mm-hmm. Charm, have you seen the truck yet?
I have seen the truck.
Charm has a really nice picture in front of the truck.
I was the
summit.
First person who ran up.
It really is a beautiful effort that has come to fruition.
Yes.
just like the work that you do, Natalie, for so many years, and Charm, the work that you've been doing pretty much your entire life, and you're clearly passing that on to your children. Mm-hmm. Hey, ladies, I'm so grateful to you for taking the time out of your day to join me this morning to talk about the Wello survey. Wello, WELLO.org. Go there, take the survey. Charm Durr, Vice President of Human Resources at Family Services of Northeast Wisconsin. Natalie Baumstead, Executive Director with Wello. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. All right, friends, I want to hear from you. Send me ideas for topics, guests, music, you name it. This is our conversation. We can talk about whatever we want. You can find me at Dr. Kristen Lierley on all the socials. And if you missed any of our conversation, you can always find the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next time. You must be
the devil. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another deadly day inside Gaza as people desperately try to get food. ABC's Patrick Reeval with more.
The IDF soldiers opened fire on crowds of Palestinians as they were approaching this crossing, which is where aid trucks often come in. According to Gaza health officials, hospitals flooded with people. Around 70 were killed, 150 people injured. The IDF saying they acknowledged that their troops opened fire, saying that they felt under imminent threat, but their preliminary review shows the casualty claims do not align with existing information.
Cries continuing to release more of the Jeffrey Epstein documents, even as legal experts say the request to unseal grand jury transcripts related to the case are unlikely to produce much. Number of people missing in the Texas flooding now stands at 3, down from nearly 100 over the past week. Golfer Scottie Scheffler dominating play at this year's British Open, celebrating his latest major title. This is ABC News.